If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
I think the offensive line is, you know, really underrated. You know, they're mean, they're nasty. You know, they believe in themselves. They play together. And I think that ultimately they believe in the guy behind them. I think Henry, you know, obviously put together a great season. You know, done a lot of great things for his team, and they're really leaning on him. And I think the mentality is, you know, somebody's going to have to stop him. Somebody's going to have to make a tackle on him if we want to get to Miami. So, you know, it's one goal, one objective to win the game. But in order to do that, we know we gotta slow down 22, no doubt.
That is the Honey Badger, Tyron Matthew, talking about Derrick Henry yesterday. So we've got some time to go see Tim Grunhard out at Rally House 9750 Corvira. He's going to be there for another 20 minutes or so. Nate Bucati's there for the rest of the show. Sports Radio 810's there all day. All shows broadcasting live for the Rally House 810 tailgate takeover. Now let's talk to Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider who joins us every week. Kaplan NFL is his Twitter handle. Adam, it was a great comeback against the Texans on Sunday, and now we are waiting. We've been waiting all year for the Chiefs to get back to this point, and some of us have been waiting our entire lives for this game. Adam Kaplan, I know that you, I'm sure, were watching that game against the Texans. That was one hell of a quarterback comeback, all in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, guys, good to be with you. When it was 24-0, I looked at the score and I said, well, this is bad. But I saw how much time was left in the first quarter. It was almost hard to believe. So what I was saying at that point was if the Chiefs could just get out of their own way, not turn it over, not have bad plays happen, maybe they could come back. And when they scored the first two touchdowns, you could just see the Texans saying, oh, no, here they come. We're going to need to stop it. And they couldn't. And Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Texans, became very, very conservative. That played in Andy Reid's hands, and then, you know, overall, when you score seven straight touchdowns, which is really historic, you've got something going on. And the good thing about that game was they were able to show they could come from behind and they could handle the adversity. And I know the game was at home. That certainly helps, but they really handled it really well. And obviously Mahomes played out of his mind. The play calling and offense was terrific. And I got to give, you know, the credit on defense was – you know, once they stop the problem early, I was told the run fits were really bad against Hyde. Once they made those adjustments and play with more discipline, the game was over. It was really a remarkable game.
Adam, before we move on and focus solely on the Chiefs, one of the big talking points out of the game was also the coaching decisions by Bill O'Brien in that game. What did you make of them, and what do you think the fallout should be there?
Well, when we look at Bill O'Brien in this game, first of all, I'm probably the only person on earth who liked the fake punt. If Sorensen doesn't make the play, that's going to be a first down. So I understand why people are critical of it, but not going on the fourth and one call was bizarre. I just thought Bill overall was very, very conservative, and you can't be that way against the Chiefs. When the Chiefs had their onslaught, when they were in the middle of it, you've got to stop it some way, and you've got to try to do something different. And I just thought the play calling was extremely conservative. And the other thing was once the Chiefs clamped down and Hyde and they started to slow down the run, and I thought last week would happen, if you're asking Watson to throw the ball 40 times or more, that means you're behind. And his overall numbers looked good, but I didn't think he was particularly sharp. And, Hopkins playing with the bad ribs, that certainly was a factor. But I think overall, I give them credit. The adjustments that Spags made in the second half were really, really good. But, man, with the Titans coming into town, you know exactly what they're going to do. And, folks, we know what the weak point of the Chiefs is. It's certainly not the secondary. It's the run defense. And that, to me, is really going to be the story of this game.
And they won the game without Chris Jones, who was declared inactive before the game. And he's trying to battle through this calf injury in order to get on the field for the AFC Championship game. What do you think about the injury to Chris Jones?
Yeah, that's a calf strain. And the problem with the calf strain is, even if it's a grade one, although my understanding it's a moderate calf strain, even if it's something that maybe in 2 or 3 weeks it'll be back to normal, the problem is in the first 7 to 10 days it's really hard to play with it Because if you can't fire off, if you can't explode, because you know that's his game as a pass rushing defensive tackle, you just can't go out there. You know, the good thing is, though, if they win, we know they're going to have a week off. So the hope is here that by Friday, he'll be able to get some snaps in. If he doesn't get any snaps in, there's just no way he's going to be able to play. He's got to get some practice time in to show that he could do something. And look, there's no question that if you remember the first Texans game when he didn't play, that was absolutely impactful. Hyde had over 100 yards. And with Derrick Henry coming in, and the Titans are very predictable in terms of play calling, you know what's coming. But if you don't have Chris Jones, that's a factor. There's no question.
So Derrick Henry's absolutely dominated the last couple of games in these playoffs. And everybody knows that he is the bell cow for the Tennessee Titans. I don't think many people expect the Chiefs to go out and absolutely stop him and shut him down. How much do they need to limit him? I mean, what do they need to hold him to in order to win this game, in your opinion?
Under 100 yards. Here's another factor. When Tannehill has thrown the ball over 28 times, they've only won once. The first thing you got to do is you got to get ahead here. If they could get up two touchdowns, the Chiefs could blow them out because what the Titans don't want to do is they don't want Tannehill throwing the ball very much. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's averaging 14 and a half attempts per game in the playoffs so far. Only had 14 last week, only 88 yards, but the two touchdowns. And the jump pass Derrick Henry threw was pretty amazing. They don't, other than A.J. Brown, who's their breakout star at receiver, he's their rookie, second-round pick. The Titans tell me he's incredible at beating man coverage. The Titans also told me that when they charted the Chiefs secondary, they play more man coverage than zone. So they may have to help against Brown with maybe a little bit of double team. Just make sure he doesn't get downfield. He's incredible, and so are the tight ends at running after the catch. Their tight ends are pretty active. Jonnu Smith, who scored last week, is they're one of the best tight ends in the National Football League at running after the catch. So they do, if they have to throw it, they do have some options. But clearly, guys, the Chiefs need to get ahead and make the Titans throw. If the Titans have to throw 27 times or more, it's almost certain that the Chiefs are going to win the game.
When you look at the first game that the Titans won between these two teams, Derrick Henry had 188 yards. Patrick Mahomes had, 446, and they could not cover Tyreek Hill. I mean, the Chiefs, even though they gave up almost 200 yards to Derrick Henry, they still were in position to win that football game had they not had trouble snapping and kicking field goals and keeping field goals from being blocked. Everything fell apart. They were in position to win that game. Isn't there a scenario where Derrick Henry does have 150, 160 yards, but still they just can't outscore the Chiefs?
Well, folks, let's remember, Tannehill only had, believe it or not, despite them scoring 35 points, only had 19 pass attempts in that game, the game earlier this season. And by the way, the Chiefs should have won that. I remember talking to one of their coaches that Sunday night, and goes, "Look, we got away with one there. If you remember, the Chiefs couldn't score inside the five there. That was ridiculous.
Right?
They should have won that game. I remember that vividly. I saw every play of that game, and I remember talking to the Titans. They were happy as heck that they won the game, but they know they skated by there. I'm going to stick with what I said, and you mentioned Mahomes. I mean, he had an incredible game, but you don't want him throwing the ball 50 times either. Not that he can't do it and be successful. But if he's throwing over 40 times, it means their defense isn't playing particularly well. So, to sum it up, get Tannehill, make him throw the football, get them behind. Yes, you're right, Henry did very well. He had several long runs in that game, but that game was more of an anomaly. The Titans are not built to come from behind there. And by the way, in that game, in that first matchup, when the Chiefs were up, they were up by 9 points at one point. But that was in the fourth quarter. It wasn't for the totality of the game. That was a very odd game, and I think it was more of an anomaly. You got to make Tannehill a thrower in this game.
And you hit on something. They had trouble in the red zone. Those red zone problems disappeared on Sunday against the Texans. And yep. that was Mahomes' first game back after that dislocated knee. And so he wasn't the same. He wasn't back to 100%. The mobility wasn't the same. His arm was terrific, obviously. But what we saw on Sunday is his mobility, him getting outside the pocket, and him creating on those touchdown passes to Travis Kelce. Don't you think that is a big difference, considering he wasn't 100%? He was just back from that injury, and now they have to deal with him not only running the football to pick up big yards like he did against the Texans, but extending plays and creating like he did against the Texans. And if they are able to score touchdowns instead of field goals, again, I say the Titans can't keep up.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would say that. You know, Mahomes, and by the way, Andy Reid was unbelievable with the play calling last week, and obviously helped by Eric Bieniemy. They had it going on. That was an absolute clinic. And Romeo Crennel, their defense coordinator, does a really good job, but he was powerless to do anything. And what I loved is there were several plays where they got it out of Mahomes' hands quickly into Kelce's hands. Hardman, you saw a play with Hardman. DeMarcus Robinson's got a hold on the football. There were some throws that were right in his hands. Watkins made a couple plays. That was good to see. They just had – Andy's got it going on right now. And another thing I want to add is talk to the people who have graded the Titans' tape, defensive tape. You can throw against them, and you saw it in the first matchup. Hill just annihilated. Tyreek Hill crushed them. In that game, now part of it is because they got behind late. He had 19 targets. They don't. Dory Jackson does have speed, but he's not an accomplished cornerback. And remember, Malcolm Butler's on injured reserve, who's arguably their best corner in terms of outside. Logan Ryan, by the way, will play the slot. I'll be interested to see how they play him. He's really good. He's their best corner that they've got right now. You could challenge them. The Chiefs, by the way, they have a lot of advantages in this game coming in here in terms of personal matchups.
So yeah, let's stick with that Titans defense for a second, Adam, because they are statistically this year a good but not great defense. They had a great game defensively last week against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, but that is a team that obviously you got to stop the run before anything against the Ravens. What do the Chiefs need to be worried about most defensively in terms of the Titans and their defense?
Yeah, and remember, just when you talk about the Ravens just for a second, Lamar Jackson he was their leading rusher last week. You're not having to worry about that. Now, I will tell you, though, Tannehill's very athletic. They don't really design anything for him, but when the pocket breaks down, and he did score last week, he's a pretty good athlete. Remember, he was a receiver at Texas A&M that got changed to quarterback. Here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought this up. The Titans do not have a very athletic offensive line. They are made to run the football. And when Henry gets his shoulders out there, it's over. You can't stop him. And I should also mention that Chris Jones did play in that first matchup against the Titans. So, and Henry went off, so that's a little bit concerning. You could play 8 in the box. You could play 9 in the box. But the tape showed last week that they're double teams on the Ravens defensive line, who have a very big and physical, they are really wide. Their double teams worked. The Ravens could not stop their run formations. And you know what's interesting? The Titans told me that the Patriots, they didn't even play 8 in the box. They thought they could handle them, and that was just a mistake by Belichick. So they come in here playing unbelievably confident. But, guys, as I said earlier here, if you get ahead of the Titans, they are in major trouble.
And so it's important for the Chiefs to get off to a fast start and not get behind like they did last week. But when the Chiefs were behind, they said screw it. They abandoned the run game, and they just went, for lack of a better term, balls to the wall because they were down. And the Texans could not stop them. Like you said, 7 straight touchdowns. So in this game, do they just try to continue that and just, you know, and then go after, be very aggressive on offense and see if they can build a lead? Because the way you describe the Titans and especially what happened in that first matchup, I don't think they have the personnel to stop the Chiefs' passing game.
Yeah, and in fact, Andy Reid never changes. He hasn't changed from Philly. They'll never be a running team. They shouldn't be. Their personnel tells you. Between Kelce, Watkins, and Hill, even Hardman, and Yeldon had a nice catch last week, DeMarcus Robinson, you throw the football. I'd be shocked if they throw the ball. If the game is even remotely close, I'd be shocked if they throw it for less than 60% of the time. I come in doing what you do best, that's throwing the football. And by the way that Andy Reid was taught from Joe Banner, who's the former president of the Eagles when they worked together, Banner believed, as he told me when I worked at ESPN, you come out, you always in the first half come out throwing. This is what Bill Walsh believes. This is what Bill Belichick believes. You come out throwing. you get a lead, and then you run to win in the second half, if it's sizable.
Adam, you brought up Philly, and I'm just curious, since you know the city of Philly so well, we heard from a lot of people in Philadelphia when Andy Reid took the job here that he'll get you to the playoffs, he'll get you to the conference championship game, but his game management's going to let you down, you're going to get frustrated in the end. Now that Eagles fans have that Super Bowl in their own pocket, do you think that they're kind of rooting for Andy Reid at this point, or how do they feel about him? How do they see him at this point in his career?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say a majority of them are cheering for him. I could see through social media. Andy had a very good relationship with the media here. Yeah, I would say a majority of the people back in Philly are rooting for Andy. It's a great story. Look, the one issue Andy has had is with situational football. Occasionally, you scratch your head. Time management. And the funny thing was, you know, the fans were scared here of Doug Peterson. And there's only one area where I think Doug's better than Andy. That's with time management. It's just something that I just think that has come up through Andy's career. But because he's such a brilliant coach in terms of play calling and managing players. By the way, another thing, one of the better head coaches of managing players is Andy Reid. And also in coaching his coaches, another thing that I wanted to mention. He's just really good at it. Most coaches are not great at it. Andy excels at it. And that's why he's able to get the most out of his assistant coaches.
All right, what's your prediction for the game on Sunday?
I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I'm more than a little concerned about the run defense. But I'm going to bank on Steve Spagnuolo to come up with a good scheme, good adjustments to get this done. Because Spags has done it all season. Now, we know the first half was not very good against the run. But he seems to always come up with something. And by the way, they did not start off well against the run in this last game. But then they made some adjustments, and the run fits were much better. This is a fascinating game because I would love to see if the Titans had to throw the football, how successful they could be against a very deep secondary of the Chiefs. It's going to be a fun ball game because people don't quite know if the Chiefs could stop the run. And then if the Titans had to throw, can they score? This could be a fun game on Sunday.
What kind of score are we looking at?
I'm going to pick it 30-20 Chiefs.
And finally, who's your pick in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Niners. Niners were my surprise team. It's funny, I picked the Niners to be a wild card team, and the Titans to win the division. Didn't quite work out that way, but they're both in it. The Packers were annihilated at the Niners earlier this season. They don't match up well against the Niners. The Seahawks do. I picked the Niners to win by two touchdowns in this game.
Adam, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
I sure hope so, guys. I hope to see you guys there, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, that would be great. We will be there if it happens. That is Adam Kaplan. Follow him on Twitter. Kaplan NFL is his handle. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Super DJ Derek Johnson right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.